الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وإذ قال إبراهيم رب اجعل هذا البلد آمنا واجنبني وبني أن نعبد الأصنام، رب إنهن أضللن كثيرا من الناس فمن تبعني فإنه مني ومن عصاني فإنك غفور رحيم. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. الحمد لله، الله سبحانه وتعالى makes, for example, certain times of the day blessed. He makes certain times of the week, like for example, the Friday, blessed. Certain evenings, blessed. Thursday evenings, or Thursday after Maghrib. Certain months, he makes blessed, like the month of Ramadan. And also these months that we are now going to be part of. These opportunities and chances come for one purpose. So we can assist ourselves, assist our families, assist our community in getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My brothers and sisters in Islam, regardless of who you are, regardless of where you've come from, regardless of your occupation, we all are going to go in that grave. We all are going to leave behind the things that we consider cherished and prized. And the only thing that's going to help us is our link to La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. That's it. Everything else will come and go. And these two things, believing in it and following in it, makes us become successful not only in this world, but as well as in the hereafter. Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam was a prophet and remains that type of embodiment or entity that has in him, if we follow his example, to transform our entire life. That is why our Prophet ﷺ also said, I am part of the millah of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Imagine the credit Ibrahim alayhi salam requires and receives. Imagine someone saying, I follow such and such person, or I'm part of the lineage of such and such person. For you to say, I'm from this background, your background better be very good. And we know most of our background. We like to think that it is much better than what it is. But if we go back in history, we see a lot of flaws, and within ourselves too, we see a lot of flaws. And for Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to say, and for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran to say, Millata abikum Ibrahim, huwa sammakumul muslimin, is a very powerful statement. That is where we also have part of our lineage. And he is the one of the first ones that said, you and I are Muslim. Not Muslim, not Muslim, not Mausoleum, Muslim. Huwa sammakumul muslimin. And when you use the word Muslim and Islam in the proper way, you feel spiritually invigorated. But my brothers and sisters, we've become so weak, all of us, to some form or the other, that we cannot even say Islam anymore, and we have to say Islam. Because we want to impress upon the person who doesn't even know how to say Islam. That's the irony. Imagine we're trying to impress people that don't know how to say Islam and Muslim. And in English class, we all learn one thing, everyone, and we learn this in Western countries, the names of certain things don't change. The pronunciation of certain things don't change. Muhammad cannot become Mohammed. It cannot happen that way. You learn that in English class. Whatever name you may have, weird or non-weird, name of countries, name of places, name of individuals, they will be pronounced exactly how those given people pronounce it. It's a simple rule in English. English 1, English 2, we learn that. And we, on the other hand, the very thing that we are called upon to uphold, simple names of places, people and things, we contribute others and contribute to others in not correcting them. In other words, contribute more to the negligence. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through Ibrahim alayhi salam, teaches us relationship and how to carry them out between husband and wife, between father and child, between leader and those that are subjugated, between individuals that want to ascribe partners to Allah, and how to help them not ascribe partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see a full life and a life plan, in essence, in motion, as a result of examining the life of Ibrahim alayhi salam. That is why Allah says, Ibrahim alayhi salam, inna Ibrahim kana ummah. That Ibrahim alayhi salam happens to be an ummah. One person generally cannot be viewed as an ummah. One group cannot just be an ummah as such. In the context of this ayah, to become and to be viewed as a nation when you are one person, it means you are very, very spiritually inclined and very, very strong, and you are doing something right in your life. That is why when Ibrahim alayhi salam, for example, had a dream to sacrifice his child, it's a story we all know about. It's nothing new. However, he was called upon to sacrifice his child. Now in today's time, when you have to make a sacrifice, it's very difficult. What we say, we in America, times have changed. Times have always been changing, whether you're in America or wherever you are. That's a cycle of life. But somehow we feel that because we are in a specific geographic location, it's okay to do certain things that are inappropriate, and thereafter label it as times have changed. So having noticed that, Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he was told to sacrifice his child, remember, the man can be said to be in his 80s. Today's time, you tell your wife you have to make a sacrifice and you're in your 80s, you know what they'll say? You forgot to take your medication, go take your medication right now. And you don't blame for the woman to say that in today's time. Because half the time we do things that are wrong. We are not the best of example to our woman folk. So they think, even when we're not on medication, they feel the need for us to be on medication. And when we are on medication, they say, this guy's really a goner. Because of the way in which we interact with them. Man is in his 80s. And what his child says, in essence, if Allah told you to sacrifice me, then that is what you must do. In fact, he helps the father by allowing himself to be blindfolded. Imagine, that age, having a child, the love he had for his child. Despite all that, he says, if Allah commanded you, go and do it. What sacrifice is your child making? Are you making a sacrifice enough just to get your child up for Fajr Salah? No, we can't get him up for Fajr Salah because he has to go to school. Imagine the logic we use. He'll be very tired in school. He won't do very well in math. Imagine. I even hear cases of, I cannot allow my child to fast because I want my child to do good on the exam. Who is helping that child in that exam? Who is helping that child in that math class? Who is helping that child become successful? You just do it on your own? Where is Allah? That is why we end up in a messed up society, because we are teaching our children from a young age that it's you that is strong. It is you that can do it. It is you that is powerful. When you remove Allah from the equation, Allah says, now do whatever you want to do. When Allah says, do whatever you want to do, then it's a gone case. then you are in a lot of trouble. We are in a lot of trouble. So anyway, he goes to sacrifice the child. Imagine taking a knife and putting it on the neck of a loved one. Because Allah commanded you to do so. And he tries to cut. Gets the knife ready and tries to cut for the second time. Imagine the scene. Imagine the heart. Ibrahim alayhi salam was known to be a mild Halim. He was known to be a very mild mannered person. Not rough, not arrogant, not forceful. And Allah is testing him. Eventually, according to some stories, when I say story, I don't mean like happy ever after story. According to some places, the knife actually spoke. In essence, to say, enough is enough. Not only the knife spoke, the knife that could not cut a thin layer of skin like mine and yours was thereafter replaced on the ground by means of a sheep with basically thick wool. The knife that could not cut a thin layer of skin cut through wool, cut through the skin of an animal, and that is how we get what is known as the Qurbani in today's time. My brothers, this is Allah. The Allah that prevents a thin layer. I mean, you know your skin, how delicate it is. You get tape, you try to cut, sometimes you try to move your envelope very fast, or the magazine very fast, or the book very fast, and you get paper cuts. A paper cuts you. A knife refuses to cut a child. Thereafter, Allah gives that knife the power to cut an animal. What is the moral of this? What is the lesson of this? That is something we have to reflect upon. That is what Allah says, وَفَدَيْنَاهُ بِذِبْحٍ عَظِيمٍ. That as fidya basically means compensation. So for example, you can't fast, then you give something in place of that fast. But the ulama have also said, you don't just give something and walk away. When you get your health back, then you do a makeup for that fast. Because there is nothing like missing the actual thing itself. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving you and I an opportunity in this month to not just remember these stories. He's giving us an opportunity to uplift and enlighten ourselves by using these things as example. Another thing that takes place during these few days or in this month will be those individuals that are now going to get ready and go for the Hajj. The Hajj is a very, very simple event, if one was to call it that. Imagine people putting just the ihram on. If you don't put the ihram on, your Hajj will not be complete. And you know, as a side note, you know, this one kid, I asked him, so why did you put this tattoo on your body? So I said, why did you put this tattoo on? You know, he says, I don't see this tattoo, anything wrong with it. It has Allah written on it. Imagine, he has Allah written on his body. So I said, why do you have Allah written on your body with this tattoo? He says, that way I can remember that I don't do wrong. I said, my brother, there are so many other things you can do in life to make you do good things. So many other... Now, my brother and sister in Islam, the question first comes about, when I study all these boys and these people that have tattoos, you don't just get up one morning and get a tattoo. And by the way, if anyone, nowadays so many young boys and girls are getting it, please don't think I'm picking on you, number one. And number two, if Allah blesses me with children, I don't know what their outcome would be. May Allah protect them, but we don't know. So don't think I'm passing judgment. This has nothing to do with judgment. How did that child get a tattoo? A child doesn't just get up and say, I want to get a tattoo. We have to ask, what was our relationship with our child? Who were their friends? Who did they associate with? What time did they come home? How did they come home? How did they dress? What made them dress that way? All these things, you take their whole lifestyle choice. And I'm not saying you are a bad parent if your child has a tattoo. That's not what we are saying here. There are certain choices that they continue making. Eventually they say, now I'm going to put a tattoo on my body. Now this child is justifying it by saying, I wrote Allah, so because I wrote Allah, it is now okay. One fellow, he had something written in Arabic. I said, but why did you have a tattoo? You know what he says? It's in Arabic. Like that's a justification. It's in Arabic. Now it's okay. This is the mentality that we are going through. Now when you're going to be there in the ihram, at least think about that. We're not talking about, you know, they say the hadith, when you die, the manner in which you die is the manner in which you're going to be resurrected. Imagine being resurrected with a tattoo, with a python coming out of your body. I mean, what are we leading ourselves towards? And then I like something even more. They'll call the mufti up and they'll say, now this is the way they presented the mufti. One is, you ask a mufti, you say, Sheikh, I have a tattoo. Should the tattoo be removed? What is the mufti going to say? Remove it. But they don't do it that way. This is what they say. Sheikh, you know, my life has changed. Now, you know, when a person starts using this type of tone, I know where they're going. Sheikh, my life has changed. I now want to become a better person. Sheikh, back in the days, I put this tattoo on. And Sheikh, it is very painful to remove the tattoo. Then what is the Sheikh going to say? He will say, well, if it's so painful, then cover it up. Wear clothing over it. Don't remove it. But what's the real answer? The real answer is, you had pain when you put it on. Now you must have pain when you take it out. It's obvious. The jaza for that crime befits that you will go through pain just as you went through pain originally. So now you are in ihram. Imagine you're in ihram. House of Allah. Good place. Good people. Pious people around. And you cannot expose yourself and you cannot fulfill what you need to fulfill in the manner in which Allah has called upon you to fulfill. Do you see the rippling effect of this? And ihram is such a deed. It doesn't matter whether you are wealthy or whether you are poor. Everyone has to go through it. Doesn't matter whether you look like a chimpanzee on that day because you don't like the way you look, because you have too much hair here and there. It doesn't matter. But one brother said, I don't look good in the ihram. Can I wear something else over it? And what Allah says, it doesn't matter how you view yourself to look. That's fine. Now it's you and your Allah. This is what Allah demands of you. And that is exactly what you have to do. So my brothers and sisters, there are two things we learn regarding the ihram and regarding Ibrahim alayhi salam. From these two things, we learn one thing. And this is what we have to leave with here today. We learn total compliance to what Allah requires is essential for our spiritual growth. That's all we learn. Total compliance, whether it's with our child, Allah has to be listened to. Total obedience to Allah. When I'm dealing with my father, total obedience to Allah. When I'm dealing with my mother, total obedience to Allah. When I walk into the masjid, total obedience to Allah. When I'm dealing and taking part in transactions, total compliance to Allah. When I'm cutting my nails and how I grow my nails, total compliance to Allah. When I'm growing my hair, total compliance to Allah. If I'm maintaining my beard, total compliance to Allah. When I go to school, who I look at, total compliance to Allah. When I take part in business dealings, total compliance to Allah. When I'm associating with friends, total compliance to Allah. You see, all this way in Ibrahim alayhi salam. That is why, regarding nails and hair, something happens right now. When you're in Hajj, you cannot just say, well, I want to cut my hair whenever I want. Those that are not in Hajj, they also have to do certain things is preferred. There's a certain time period when they will not cut their nails. Certain time period, they will not cut their hair. And those that are in Hajj, there's a certain time period, they will cut their hair, even though others do not need to cut their hair back home. This is what you call total compliance to Allah. That is what we learn, my brothers and sisters. And if we take this with us from the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam, from the ayah that we have recited regarding Ibrahim alayhi salam, inshallah, it will benefit us not only inshallah in our current life, but also undoubtedly in the hereafter to come as well.
May Allah help us, and guide us at all times. There are two announcements to make, but one from my side. We have shares for